is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 516 in the series. This session shares part of the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, April 13, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the school committee members, central office personnel, and key guests were in the council chambers. The remainder, along with the public, were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the just about 2 hour and 15 minute into two logical segments. First covers the opening up through the Parmenter presentation, approximately 60 minutes. Second picks up the district improvement plan updates through to the closing, approximately 73 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder will hold the other documents released for this meeting. So let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of April 13, 2021.
Okay. Time being 7 o'clock, I call to order the April 13, 2021 meeting of the Franklin School Committee. Meetings are recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. Just a reminder, at the conclusion of this meeting, we will be adjourning to go into executive session and will not be returning. And just briefly, as I do at each meeting, just a reminder, per Governor Baker's executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, the public will not be allowed to physically access this school committee meeting. Members of the public can access the meeting via remote conference. The school committee reserves the right to implement additional remote participation procedures and will notify the public of these procedures as soon as practicable. Okay. Governor Dunn. So we do, at this point, we do a roll call attendance. Tim Keenan. Do you see Tim? He may not, he comes sometimes a minute or two after. Judith Pondpfeffer?
Here.
Okay. Mary Jane Schofield?
She's here.
Is she there?
She is there.
Jen D'Angelo? Do you see Jen?
No. Nope.
Not yet. Okay. I got it put. Denise Spencer?
I am here.
Elise Stokes?
Here.
Okay, Elisa's here and Ann Bergen's here. Very good. Okay. And as usual, our custom, we always begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, and we have two students here on Zoom from Parmenter School. And I'd like to just read you a little bit about each of them. Their principal, Shannon Baca, has prepared a nice introduction. And first we have Ellie Graham. Let me tell you about Ellie. Ellie is a hardworking fifth grade student at Parmenter Elementary School. Ellie loves to dance ballet and dreams of becoming a professional dancer. Ellie shows Parmenter's core values of courage and effort every day. She is always ready to share her thoughts with the class, take on a challenge, or try out something new. Ellie has faced this year head on, ready for anything this unusual year could throw her way. She does so with great enthusiasm and care, and demonstrated this in both hybrid and in-person learning. We are proud to have Ellie as part of the Parmenter family. And also, Josie Bishanio. Josie Bishanio is a studious fifth grader at Parmenter. Outside of school, she enjoys soccer, basketball, volleyball, and spending time with her family and friends. Josie comes to school every day with a smile on her face, ready to work hard. She demonstrates Parmenter's core values of effort and respect in all aspects of her day as she interacts with teachers and peers. Josie should be proud of her accomplishments over this very unusual school year. She did not let hybrid learning stop her from learning the fifth grade curriculum and preparing herself for middle school next year. We are thrilled to have Josie represent the Parmenter family tonight, and we're proud to have both of you here with us. We're going to stand, and when you're ready, you're going to start us off in the Pledge of Allegiance. So ready? I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That's a tough one to do when you're not here with us, and you did it very well. Thank you. We're very proud of you, and we're sure your family is, and all of the people, members of the Parmenter School. So thank you. All right, and then is customary also, we stop for a pause for a moment of silence. Thank you. So then, review of agenda. Look okay to everybody?
Looks great.
Okay. Citizens' comments. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to something that is an issue that is not on the agenda this evening? You see anyone?
I do okay. not see any hands.
All right, moving right along. Do we have any of our Franklin High School student representatives with us tonight to give us an update on what's happening at the high school?
You see Katie. Hi, everyone. I'm here tonight, and I think Kenzie is as well. I have a few updates, and then I'll pass it off to Kenzie. But just to reintroduce myself, I'm Katie Garrigan, and I'm a senior at Franklin High School. So to kick off some of our comments tonight, the first thing I kind of want to touch upon was the transition back to full in-person learning. I was personally there in school yesterday, and it was just incredible. Students were happy, teachers were happy. It was a totally different environment. And I know that everyone was really happy to see people just back in the building. Some of the few comments that we did receive from the end of the day were there were some issues with lunch that the school is tweaking. There were some seating issues that are being worked out. And also there were some concerns about the hallway. But once again, the school is definitely working on making this a comfortable transition for all students. So then moving on to some other things, Model Senate, one of the clubs at our school, is currently competing in the Hockomock Senate competition right now. So day one of the competition was today, and this is a virtual competition. And we're competing with schools from Oliver Ames, Mansfield, and North Attleboro. And day two of the competition is tomorrow, where we'll debate the final bills. In some other news, the National Honor Society at Franklin High School is currently hosting a food drive for the food pantry up until the end of the month. And they are looking for donations. Some of the items that are in need are coffee, the snack pack, pudding packs, toothpaste, goldfish, and tuna. There's a form that you can fill out that's available online if you wanted an NHS representative to pick it up. And there's also public donation sites throughout the town, some at the police department as well. In other news, the National Arts Honor Society is running an auction and taking bids until April 30th. And the auction link is also available on Twitter. And now I'll pass it off to Kenzie.
Hi, so I'm Kenzie. I'm a junior. And same with Katie, I was able to go into school yesterday and today. And I think I can agree with her. It was really nice to see a lot more people in school. Same thing about the concerns with lunch. It was a little chaotic, I would say, but on Monday. But yeah, today was a lot better. And then I think everyone was pretty much just happy to be there. Some other updates as far as like clubs and sports go, I believe track has their Hockomock tournament this week, which is super exciting. And the theater company is looking at starting another project soon. So hopefully by the next time we have one of these school committee meetings, we'll get to share with you what the theater company at FHS is going to start. But other than that, I think Katie kind of covered everything.
Boy, thank you both. Thank you, especially for giving us information about how the transition is going. We knew there might be some challenges, but the fact that both of you especially are showing leadership, that's really important. And we know that how difficult it's been, the pressure and all the work that went into to doing that transition and getting everybody back to school together. And I know I just want to thank Josh Hanna for all the work and the staff at the high school for everything, and especially the students for being cooperative and being patient and understanding that it's not always easy. So thank you for your leadership. I didn't know if any school committee people wanted to say anything. Are you all set? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you both. Dr. Hearn, superintendent's report.
Sure, I have a few things to share, and before I forget, it's not in my report officially, but we do have a drop box for the food pantry here in the town municipal building downstairs, and we are open during the day on the first floor lobby, so we are collecting things here and appreciate the National Honor Society students placing that here, and I look forward to bringing some items in. I want to extend an enormous amount of appreciation and congratulations and thanks to the entire Franklin community. As you heard from our students, there is a sense of joy as we return most of our students to in-person learning. That joy was also shared today when we had a reopening monitoring team. This would not be feasible without the collaborative efforts of our faculty, staff, administration, families, students, and the greater community. We also want to be sure to thank and recognize our remote-only students, families, and teachers as well. And we look forward to the continued connections that we have as we approach the end of the year as an entire school community. We are looking forward to learning over the next several weeks. It sounds like there's some learning that already happened at the high school related to lunches from yesterday to today and help shape our plans for school in the fall. And as I usually do, I do a professional development recap or preview. We did have a professional development half day on Wednesday, March 31st. And given the timing of it, that time was dedicated for staff to prepare for in-person learning, which began on the 5th for K to 5 and yesterday, 6 through 12. Want to also congratulate our food services director, Colin Boisvert. He secured a school nutrition equipment assistance grant. This is a grant that is going to go towards a tilt skillet at Franklin High School. It is approximately $18,000, and appreciate the support from the Department of Education for this equipment piece. As you know, this would ordinarily have to come out of the food services budget or capital, and we're pleased that we could that he got it from a grant. So thank you, Colin. We are in a bit of a transition period with our athletics, but did want to note, in addition to track, I think there's a big volleyball game tomorrow, and we are completing the fall 2 sports season, so we wish our teams the best. Spring sports is in signups now and is getting underway on April 26th. We anticipate baseball, boys and girls lacrosse, softball, boys and girls tennis, outdoor track, and unified track in the spring season. Of course, we're following the EEA and MIAA guidelines. And lastly, as a friendly reminder to our families, April vacation is next week, and we want to make sure that we wish our families as well as our faculty and staff a relaxing and refreshing break and hope everybody stays safe.
That it, Sarah?
That's it.
Good. Any follow-up committee members? No? All set? Good. Okay. Dr. Hearn, guests and presentations.
Thank you. Tonight we welcome a team from the Parmenter School. Tanya Lamoureux, our assistant superintendent, assistant principal, and Shannon Barca, the principal. I'm sorry, I'm a little out of sorts. I'm on the other side of the room looking at the assistant superintendent. are here with a team. We've got some staff members and parents that they will introduce, and they're going to share Parmenter School highlights. So I'll turn it over to them.
Thank you. And while Tanya puts that together, I will share that I'm not surprised that you made that mistake because her work ethic is like that. So Tanya is going to present the slides now. Thank you so much for having us today. We do have a team with us. We're so appreciative of that. I do want to start off by thanking the fifth grade teachers who did contribute to writing those wonderful blurbs about Ellie and Josie this morning too. So I don't want to just take the credit for that. But on that note of thanking people, I do want to start off with thanking the teachers for adjusting and readjusting their practice several times this year, always putting the students' needs first, and making sure that the students are physically and emotionally safe. And I have to say, the teachers truly have been rock stars at it. Thank you to the students who demonstrated such resiliency and flexibility this year, and showing so much effort in everything they've been doing in such an incredibly challenging environment. I want to thank the families for their flexibility and their support during this year and taking on new and challenging roles themselves at home while their students were learning remotely. I also want to thank the district admin and school committee. You provided support along the way, and also you allowed us to determine the effective and creative solutions alongside you in this ever-changing platform. I want to thank the PCC. While significantly modified this year, they have continued to support the students and the staff through creative solutions and fundings and actions of appreciation, and we really truly appreciate that. And then finally, I want to thank our community partners, which include, but is not limited to, the Franklin FPD, especially our SRO, Officer Dave Gove, U Inc., who we've worked with since a couple years ago to help provide mental health support and counseling within the school, and the Franklin Food Pantry, who've done so much for so many of our families this entire year. Our objectives for tonight is to share our experiences and accomplishments from this year in alignment with the FPS Portrait of a Graduate and the District Improvement Plan. We'll specifically address tonight the social-emotional learning and well-being of staff and students, the engaging and rigorous curriculum we've done this year, and then the work that we've done to become a more culturally proficient group here at Parmenter. It's important to note that within these strategic objectives and beyond, decisions and changes are made after thoughtful reflection and analysis, after gathering multiple perspectives, and then strategic plans are determined to address our specific needs here at Parmenter. What we highlight tonight in our presentation is clearly connected to the Portrait of a Graduate, specifically looking at confident and self-aware individual and empathetic and productive citizen. So when we start with the social emotional learning and well-being, I thought it was important to just first show you a makeup of who we are. How do we stand out in a unique way from the other schools in our district? So in following the MTSS framework, which is a multi-tiered system of supports for school districts that they use so that we can build necessary systems to ensure that each and every student receives high quality educational experience. So what we've done is identified the percentage of students who require these different levels of tiered level SEL support here at Parmenter. To help us objectively do this, we do also use the DESA, if you're familiar in some of my previous presentations in the last 2 years, which is the Devereaux Student Strengths Assessment. We do use this, it's an SEL assessment, to identify individual student strengths and needs in specific SEL competency areas such as self-management, social awareness. And then additionally, we do rely on observable data collected and IEP and 504 information to help determine what services we'll need to provide our students as well. So when you look at tier one, according to this MTSS framework, we typically have about 80% of students who should fall within this range. And what we have here at Parmenter is 58% of our students receiving tier one, or perhaps even just universal practices. And how we used the data to determine this is students who display observable behaviors less than 10% of the time, and then a DESA score of 46 or above. Now, tier two, which you typically see, again, according to the MTSS framework, you typically see about 15% of the students fall within this range. Here at Parmenter, we have, as you see, 22%. And the data we use here is the display observable behaviors 10 to 20% of the time. And they have a DESA score from their teachers, the rating that they did, of 41 to 45. Also, we look to see who are their students who are currently receiving or require tier two level supports. And then finally, and here's where you see where we're mostly unique here, tier three, according to MTSS framework, typically you'll find about 5% of students who fall within the range who need this high level of support. Here at Parmenter, we do have 20% of our students who require or are receiving tier three SEL level support. They display observable behaviors more than 20% of the time. There's a DESA score of 40 below, and they currently require or receive tier three supports already. What's interesting about this data is that it shows that we have 42 to 47% of our students receiving tier two or tier three SEL support. This aligns nicely with the amount of students or the percentage of students we had returned here prior to our April 5th date. Prior to that date, we had 123 students, which is 47% of our student population who were identified as high need students and were here on a full-time basis at that time was 4 days a week. And so we did follow the district criteria, allowing students who rely on the school for essential services, supports, and needs. And I like to see that correlation. It does give a little room as well for students who may not be needing SEL support from the school. However, they do require academic high needs support through their IEP. So that 42 versus 47% allows for that type of room. And so, yes, we have a large percentage of students who receive or require high tiered level SEL support. So to address this, we had to shift some of the work that we were doing here related to social emotional learning. Our staff PD has been specifically related to SEL on some of our staff meetings, giving teachers an opportunity to plan tier one SEL lessons and strategies that are directly related to the CASEL framework and the DESA framework that you see here. During our SSST, we call it, which is Student Support and Safety Team, we are a group of four of us, and we meet weekly. During this time, we analyze the DESA scores. We determine the now what, if you will, with assistance from the teachers. And then the SSST group continuously uses this time to plan tier two and tier three level units of instruction, lessons, strategies, and supports. We group the students into where they fit and what they need, also looking at what their strengths are, and then sharing that data with the teachers. So I just thought it was important before we talk about all of the other things we're doing at a universal level or tier one, that it's important that you have an understanding of the makeup of our school. And so then when we talk about the social emotional well-being of our staff, we need to make sure that the adults in front of the children are okay. If they're okay, the kids in front of them will be okay. And so it might sound silly relating it to an SEL staff well-being need, but time is something teachers have always asked for and they desperately need, especially this year. So what we've done this year is strategically plan our staff meetings and PD times to directly align with the work that they need to do this year in this ever-changing instructional model. We also provide constant support to our staff, whether it's strategically placing support personnel in necessary classrooms or other learning areas, lending a listening ear, providing support through the individualized student action plans through the ISD process, which I have to say, Mrs. Lamro has done a phenomenal job this year. And part of the social emotional well-being is she took a lot off the teacher's plate and put a lot on hers to make sure students were receiving the academic targeted instruction that they needed. We provide technology support, and we just make sure that whatever the teachers need, we are here to help them in that. And of course, we can't forget feeding them with treats and coffees whenever we can. You see here is a picture of Mrs. Lamro and I believe this one was around St. Patrick's Day. Somebody in our school loves St. Patrick's Day. It's their favorite holiday. I won't mention who, and there may be a lot of Irish music playing throughout the day. So it was a time to celebrate and give some treats and coffee to make sure that they're feeling that they're being fulfilled in that area as well. And I think it's so important to make sure that we sustain a safe work environment and maintain a sense of humor throughout all of this. And what you'll hear later is focusing on the silver linings. As soon as school closed, one of our very first meetings, I talked about the importance of finding silver linings in all this. This was last March of 2020. And it's a theme that we've continued here throughout the year.
So in addition to addressing the staff's social, emotional learning and well-being, we're also going to talk a little bit about what we are doing for students and families. In addition to what Shannon had mentioned, we're also using our student support and safety team meetings in order to review family input from surveys we've administered as well as teacher surveys and student self-assessments. We then determine the family needs and individualized supports and partner with local agencies. Some of these local agencies include DCF, U Inc., Riverside, the Franklin Food Pantry, the Random Smiles Project, Mason's Group, and all of these groups together help us in order to provide necessary supports to our families. Another example of this is since the closure, we sent out a family support link to families each week, and families are able to use this link to request essential supports such as food, mental health support, school supplies, gas, and grocery gift cards, as well as holiday support. As you can see a picture at the bottom, another fun tradition that we were able to continue for our students during the closure was Mrs. Barca giving individualized birthday greetings to our students, seeing we couldn't do that in the building. Another important note you can see through our pictures and this slide is throughout all of this, it has been so important to us at Parmenter in, to sustain and further grow the idea that we truly are a family and this is what we consider our second home. We relied on this as our foundation and we truly believe we are a stronger community because of this work that we were able to do together. One of the important traditions we wanted to continue this year was creating our virtual whole school meetings as a means to discuss our core value and SEL competency of the month, to be able to share information about community outreach projects we were doing, and also continue to build our school culture. Another important part of our day became the Exploring Diversity Through Art Club, and students had the opportunity to meet with Mr. Tarasenko, our school psychologist, and use art as a way to discover and celebrate what makes each child special and unique by creating self-portraits of themselves. In addition to the list of traditions on this slide, we also have a Flipgrid, a video discussion of students in Character Ed who will tell you more about the ways they were able to continue with student leadership this year.
Think under view
No, not yet.
Under view options on the pull down, do you see share audio?
Tanya, you're presenting. Do you see under view options up at the top?
Hello, my name is Vincent. I'm in fourth grade at Parmenter, and I'm a member of our Character Education Committee. Fourth and fifth grade students apply to be in this group by answering questions about our core values and how we can have a positive influence on others, our school, and our community. We believe student voice is important at our school.
Hello, my name is Cameron, and I'm in Character Ed. One of our jobs is to create fun spirit days for the whole school. We had some new ideas this year, which included dressing up like an influential character from a book, wear a positive or inspirational quote, and a Numbers Everywhere Day. The teachers and students love these spirit days.
Hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm in fifth grade. Our first community outreach project was to make cards for the veterans to show our support and thanks to the troops. We sent our positive and encouraging cards to an organization called A Million Thanks. They send the cards to U.S. troops stationed around the world.
And here are some visuals of the work that we've done throughout the year to highlight SEL skills, such as social awareness and relationship skills, as well as some of our community outreach projects. Going to talk a little bit now about some of the rigorous and engaging curriculum that we have been working towards this special school year. One of the new assessment tools we've used this year is called MAP, which stands for the Measures of Academic Progress. And this is an adaptive achievement and growth assessment, which was administered to students in kindergarten through third grade. And this tool helped us to determine where each student is at in their academic learning and also allowed us to meet them where they were. Some other engagement and assessment tools and practices that teachers have been able to use in their classrooms this year include Seesaw, immediate feedback through Google Classroom, newly revised rubrics to represent the priority standards, as well as Flipgrid. Another change that we had was some changes to our models of instruction, which included grades 3, 4, and 5, finding new and different ways to departmentalize throughout the grade level. The instructional support team was also able to plan and create targeted interventions based on assessment data. This year, we used several intervention programs in order to target specific skills. Two that we use in the area of reading were Headsprout and Read Live, which are both online instructional programs to help teach and build phonics, improve fluency, vocabulary, and also comprehension. In math, we utilize Bridges Intervention, which provides targeted instruction and assessment essential for K through 5 mathematics skills. We have one of our fourth grade teachers, Gail Troten, here with us tonight to share a little more about the rigorous curriculum planning and implementation this year.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I would just like to first start by just saying, I hope, and I think I do speak on behalf of all of the really exceptional and hardworking teachers and staff at Parmenter tonight. So I feel very happy to be able to do that. So in a year like this one, where we all felt challenged pretty much to our limit and sometimes saying this feels impossible, instead of kind of staying stuck in that paralysis, we were able through collaboration and the incredible teamwork that is so important to all of us at Parmenter, we were really able to look outside the box, assess and sort of distill our units into really important standards and essential questions that we just couldn't do without this year. And it was a really good process for all of us to do that, because I think it kind of elevates the importance of certain types of learning and certain questions. So although I think it was difficult for some students, I think we were surprised how ideal it was for a lot of students. There were students where this structure and the high structure and the individualized sort of nature of some of the assignments and the way we did things both in hybrid and in remote settings really did work for some students. And that was a nice surprise for a lot of us. And I think we were able to find the rigor could be just as much, if not more, based on this collaborative sort of effort that we all had to sort of undertake together. So for a specific example, my grade 4 unit is up here, Poetry and the African American Experience. And it was an amazing thing to watch kids read from the works of Nikki Giovanni, Kwame Alexander, Maya Angelou, Eloise Greenfield, Langston Hughes, and many, many more incredible poets who were able to convey the many diverse voices of our African American community, but also other communities as well. And it was an amazing way for kids to think deeply, to consider maybe voices and stories and perspectives they had never heard before. And you can see some of the essential questions here. One of them, well, actually all of them, one thing I did to kind of adjust to sort of the learning platform that we all had to adjust to was create digital journals. So we had a discrimination reflection journal. And as they learned, they were able to take these questions apart and really consider them, analyze and synthesize from all these different sources, because we also read a lot of literature, and answer these really hard questions like, what are various African American perspectives and experiences throughout history, including those of today? Or what is discrimination and how does it diminish all people? Where does it break down our society? So these are things fourth graders really embraced, and we had incredible discussions, and I have this written work in their digital discrimination journals to show all the learning that they've done. So that's one example of how we sort of unpacked it differently this year. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Gail, for sharing. And part of the work, the large work that we're doing here at Parmenter to become a more culturally proficient group and community, we took a hard look at the available texts that we have throughout our school and recognized the significant need to build more culturally responsible and relevant texts and curriculum materials. Not only did we need more titles that included themes of diversity and inclusion, but we also needed a wider variety of books that have diverse characters so that all students may see themselves in the book illustrations and feel represented through our literature that we have here at Parmenter. I'm proud to share that we now have over 100 new titles that do just this. These are available in our school library, classroom libraries, the literacy room and conference room. And this is just the beginning of the work that we're doing here with the texts at our school. We also intentionally planned our March Madness book that we have here every March. The March Madness included more diverse selection of titles with a focus on inclusion, respect, diversity, and other important core values. You also heard Mrs. Lamoureux speak about one of our new passion projects we were able to start this year, which is exploring diversity through art, with the latest project title being What Makes Me So Fabulously Different. And then before I get into the Mentor Club, I do want to point out, you see here the multiple PDs, if you will, professional developments that Mrs. Lamoureux and I attended this year to build the cultural proficiency work that we do here. Something that I'm most proud of that we started this year is our student mentor program. This year, we started this program for some of our Black female students, specifically in grades 3-5. This has been facilitated by two amazing high school students, Numbe and Kiana. I think many of you have met them here at one of these school committees. This group meets each week to engage in critical conversations with others who share similar experiences and become actively involved in working towards improving self-awareness, self-esteem, and social awareness. So some of the goals of this program this year included establishing a like group of students who will regularly engage in conversations about similar experiences, views, perspectives, and ideas specifically related to discrimination and racism. Use these regular meetings as a means to discover individual and other people's feelings and voices. Bring authentic voices to the table as part of essential decision-making and positive change that helps build true diversity and inclusion within the school setting alongside the Parmenter admin. Engage in learning opportunities with high school mentors to read and reflect on common articles, videos, current events, et cetera, that help root meaningful conversations. And then finally, to learn essential terms, work to identify when incidents related to these occur within our community and work towards interrupting them if and when they occur. So one example of the impact this program is already having on these students is this quote from an email from one of our teachers to one of the high school mentors. She wrote, "The changes I have seen in this student since joining the group is amazing. She is more confident and outgoing with her peers and teachers. Thank you so much for all you are doing. If there's anything I can do to support you, please let me know." So we are also looking to start a mentor program very similar to this, but for Black male students in our school. We're really looking for a mentor. So if anyone out there knows of any interested high school or college age mentors, please reach out to me. And then also we are looking to expand this program next year to include a more diverse group of students. So I talked a little bit about this, and then this one other piece that I'll introduce one of our school council members, but wanted to point out that in our school council, we are currently participating in a book club, reading How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi, which fantastic book, by the way, I highly recommend this for anyone, looking to truly identify the difference between not being a racist and being an anti-racist and what this might look like for our children and for the adults alike. So to talk perhaps a little bit more about this, but also to share the parent perspectives, we have Ona Harrington, who's a school council member and a parent of our community.
Hi, good evening. First, I want to thank the district overall for adapting to all the changes over the past year and the constant support, not just to Parmenter, but for the whole district through all these persistent unknowns. Specific to Parmenter, I've been part of this community for 10 years, and my daughter, who's in fifth grade, is my third child to grow up in this school. They have a motto that is, learning is what we do and family is who we are. And these aren't just words. It's the feeling you get when you walk through those doors of the school or log into the Google Meets, whatever the flavor of the day might be. But building off what Mrs. Barker was just talking about, the cultural proficiency work and the book club that we've been having throughout this year on how to be an anti-racist, the conversation is always really rich and meaningful. And it always comes back to how these concepts and experiences relate back to the school environment, the students and their families. The passion to understand and to make Parmenter a truly inclusive place with a supportive, empathetic community is really clear. I've told so many people that the work that's happening and the genuine understanding of why this work is important should be an example for our larger Franklin community. The culture of the school is one that embraces each individual person and gives them a safe place to learn, develop, and of course, test boundaries as school-aged children will. The administrators, teachers, and staff all lead by example, and they exemplify the core values on a day-to-day basis, no matter how challenging a day can be. Parmenter provides a strong foundation, not just for my kids who have been through, but for all the kids to continue growing and exploring both academically and personally. And I know I'm not the only one who appreciates this diverse and really dynamic community. I really can't show enough appreciation for everything that the people in this school do, but do want to thank Mrs. Barca, Mrs. Lamoureux, and everyone on your team. They're truly appreciated by the whole community, and I'm really grateful to be part of this family.
Thank you so much, Ona. That means a lot. So one quote that we put out last year, it was in 2020, but it was not during the pandemic, it was prior to that. Perhaps we predicted a little, but a quote we do go by is, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So this is something we hold near and dear to our hearts, and in a pandemic and unprecedented, challenging, tireless, I'm gonna use all these words that we no longer want to use anymore and can't wait to say goodbye to. But in this kind of year, we had to make sure that we were able to find silver linings, we were able to identify lessons learned, and we were able to move forward with strength, perseverance, and courage. So here for you to end this, we just have two quick videos. One is staff and student perspectives on some of the silver linings this year.
What a year it's been. If I had to reflect on one positive thing, there's so many. I guess I would say that I've been so impressed with how flexible the staff, the students, and the administration has been. Students have had to deal with computers that don't work, books that are missing, and they've really rose to the challenge. Teachers have had to learn so many new things this year, and we've all done it with a smile. It makes me so proud to work at Parmenter.
Hi, my name's Eliana, and I'm in third grade. The thing I like about this year is that I'm in a mentor group, and I get to express myself, and I feel more brave about myself when I'm in the mentor group.
Despite the craziness of the pandemic, there were, of course, some silver linings. My personal favorite day of the year, every year, is the first day of school, and we had plenty of firsts this year. We had the first day of teachers all back together again. We had the first day of online learning ever. We had the first day of Cohort A coming back, the first day of Cohort B coming back, and by far the best day ever, April 5th, the first day everybody coming back. So glad.
Hi, my name is Savannah, and I'm in first grade, and I'm so happy that I get to be with my teacher and in school, and I'm so happy that I get to learn new things.
One silver lining are the amazing collaborative relationships that have been built and strengthened among all the staff here at Parmenter. Everyone has pulled together to go above and beyond to support the students' SEL needs and academic needs as well. I have to also recognize the resilience of all of our students who show up each and every day despite all the change and the challenges and put forth their best effort. They certainly have inspired me.
Hi everyone, Mrs. Mack, Parmenter music teacher here. This has been a tough year for music with no singing in the classrooms and no recorder in the classrooms, but we've made the best of it and we've added some cool, new, and exciting things like bucket drumming.
Hi, my name is Avery. I'm in kindergarten, and I like to go to PE with Mr. Conroy because I like to play noodle tag and do moving.
I would say that the lesson I learned from the past few months or year is that, first of all, kids are resilient. They can do anything. And I'm amazed every day at how well they took this whole process. And I also feel like it brought us all closer together as colleagues. I know we were close before, but now as a family, I think we're even closer and we can do anything together.
I started the year off with the big question, what if? What if I taught my units in their purest form? What if I taught beyond the power standards? What if I kept that bar high this year despite the hybrid model? And that's exactly what I did. And these kids showed grit and perseverance, and they met my high expectations. And for that, I'm super proud.
My name is Liam. I'm in kindergarten. I like Pomentor because no matter if you learn, no matter what you do in Pomentor, it's always fun. I like seeing my friends and going 5 days a week.
Hi, I'm Jolene Cronin. I teach fifth grade here at Parmenter. And while no one would deny this has been a challenging year, there have been positive takeaways. Our students have learned resiliency and flexibility, life skills that they will take with them well beyond this unusual year. For me, I've again been reminded how this Parmenter community supports one another and that this is what defines Parmenter. We can depend on each other.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Consovio, third grade at Parmenter.
Hi, so we'll stop there. School committee, we do have more, but I think for the sake of timing, we want to stop there. And then just end with a quick slideshow of pictures. Again, our motto, thank you, Ona, for that is learning is what we do, family is who we are. I hope that these pictures show that. And you'll hear our theme song in the background, which is home. We heard many times, we had a lot of first days this year. We did hear a lot this many times, and there were many tears, both staff and students. So please enjoy this as the ending to our presentation.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road, and although this way stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear, don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. Trouble, it might drag you down. You
Thank you for the time.
Wow. Let me just go through the committee, see if any follow-up questions, comments. I'll start with Jen.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for the presentation. It was great. So for those of you who don't know, I have two nieces at Parmenter, so obviously I love Parmenter. So I just wanted to say, Tanya, I loved your quote about maintaining a safe environment for everyone. I think that's so important, and I love that that was something that you focused on. The other thing I had a question about, just kind of in looking at your statistics, which was really kind of eye-opening to kind of represent that through those numbers. I'm wondering, you know, having such high number tier 2 and 3 percentages, is it something that you look at to kind of go back and re-examine your level, your tier 1 supports when your numbers are so high, so elevated compared to, you know, averages?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. It's actually something we did 3 years ago. We felt like we had a larger percentage of students who were in the tier 2, tier 3 level. And so what we did was revamp the structures we had in place. And that's when we had this huge culture shift and focused not only on tier 1, but the universal practices. It's when we came up with our school motto. It's when we really made sure that being a family was not rhetoric. We had to start with the social emotional learning and the character ed, because that's really where it all starts. If you're not emotionally available to learn, if you're not emotionally available to teach, right, you're not going to get the outcome that you're looking for. So for the last 2 years, we saw a significant shift in that. We are trained in safety care, it's called, and we minimally had to use safety care in the last 2 years. I anticipated, I predicted that we would see our numbers shoot up again. I think what happened was we did have a bit of a honeymoon period in the beginning, and then once students felt more safe and comfortable within the setting here at school, we started to see some of these behaviors or the social emotional needs increase. So we are currently analyzing, looking at, talking to central office about, you know, here we are, we're at this place again with the structures, the foundation that we did put in place a couple years ago. And what we're doing is first make sure that these kids in tier 2 and 3 have the support that they need. That's something we didn't have prior to 2 years ago. It almost felt like this triage mode. And we do have that structure in place, and working with central office and getting more supports, and they've been coming in and looking and walking around and seeing that we've been working collaboratively with them. We now know what our next steps are for tier 2 and tier 3 students, and we are building a stronger base and foundation for the tier 1. Some of it comes down to personnel. So making sure that we have, you know, our adjustment counselor able to work with tier 1 students, not just the tier 2 and 3, but, you know, this year, she's been quite busy working with our school psychologist to do that. So that's an excellent point, something we did readjust a couple of years ago and something we are revamping again.
Yeah, because I would anticipate your numbers would be a little bit higher just based on the demographics of the school.
Yeah.
But that to have that 50-50 split is alarming. And I think that that's, like you said, looking at your resources and really making sure that we're having those conversations about where are the needs and where are those areas that we do need some additional support. So I think that's kind of what I would like to bring to that piece, is really identifying that there is a need there. There is a need for those resources. And I think that's something as a committee we really need to keep in mind.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that, Jen. I do want to point out too, Dr. Ahern recognizes that as well, and she's been fabulous and can speak to that more in the future as well.
Yeah. And then I think that was it.
I think that was it for me. And then I just, one more thing, I had the pleasure of being a mystery reader the other day in Mrs. Logan's kindergarten class. And I have to say, it was the most well-run kindergarten class I have ever seen via Zoom. And she did a great job. So that was really exciting. And keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. I'm not surprised to hear that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Tim?
I'm good. Sorry, I got some noise in my background here. Thank you so much for the presentation. Very much appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim. Judy?
I've always had a very soft spot in my heart for Parmenter. My mother taught there for over 20 years. It's not the same school as it was 20 some odd years ago when she was teaching there. It was an excellent, great presentation. Congratulations to all of you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Judy. MJ?
Hi, Shannon, thank you to you and your team. Great job.
Thank you, Mary Jane.
Denise?
No, almost
all set. Elise?
Thank you so much. It was a really great presentation. I love all the visuals, and the song at the end was just like, it was awesome. We could really get a feel for Parmenter family. I had the same question Jen did as far as the percentage of the tiered supports required, and just sort of wanted to echo that. And I guess, like you had said, it's important for us as a committee to recognize that and sort of putting in place more of the universal practices, or maybe sort of shifting all the tiers. So maybe Parmenter's tier one looks more like tier two at a different school, and trying to beef up tiers two and three. And I guess the other questions I have are really commendations to Parmenter. And I'm just sort of wondering if these are things that are just specific to Parmenter, or if they're across elementary schools. Especially the student SEL self-assessments, and also wondering if all elementary schools have the SSST and an IST, or if that's just a Parmenter thing. So either Shannon or Dr. Hearn.
Yeah, so all the schools do have a level of surveying in terms of SEL needs. So all the schools have student assessments or surveys taken that are given out to either the students directly through the assistance of their teachers or sent out to the family. So that is something that's happening across the district. And I know that the schools, it's not called SSST. There's one school calls it best behavior or something, team. I can't think of it now. And I know that the other schools in the last couple of years have been working to merge their ISTs. But while it's still called IST, they're merging SEL with the academic piece. We just found years ago that we couldn't merge it. We had to have them separated and have different types of supports. Certainly there's a correlation. We recognize that, we address it, but we have to have this separate tiered level of supports. Part of the structure we are recreating now is an intervention enrichment structure to start at the beginning of next year. And looking at that pyramid, that MTSS pyramid, if you will, and having on one side the academic, on the other side the social emotional learning, seeing the correlation and making sure we have a very cohesive approach to the interventions and enrichment in place moving forward.
I think that's great, and I think that seems to be a vision for the district going forward, looking at tiered supports not just for academics but for also for social emotional behavior, and just recognizing, as you're saying, that just because a kiddo needs tier three academic support doesn't mean it's tier three social emotional behavior. They could be at different tiers and different areas than they often are, right? So that's why it can make sense for you to have two different teams.
And Lucas and Paula have done a great job running the district SEL committee. I am on that. I've been on it for the last several years to make sure that there's more consistency across the district in that area as well.
Awesome. That's what I was getting at. Thank you. It's all really exciting and great to hear. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you, Elise.
All set, Elise? Good, yeah. I just wanted to say the words when it feels impossible. I imagine so much of throughout the year it must have felt that way, but you talk about heroes. You guys certainly are. I think what was so important about this presentation is it really showed the complexity of the challenges at Parmenter and the unique challenges that Parmenter presents sometimes, and the incredible staff and parent support it showed through in this presentation, the culture that you created there, staying positive through all of this. I love the unit approach. The power of that unit approach is extraordinary. It really is. So I know on behalf of all of us, just to thank you for the time you put just into this presentation alone, and the thoughtfulness, but it reflects the work that you do all the time. And just thank you, and keep up the good work, as everyone has said, and we're very proud of you. So thank you
so much. It was a cathartic experience, and I do want to end just thanking our parliamentary community is amazing. Yes, we have challenges, but more than that, we have heart. The staff is incredible. The students are amazing. The parents are so supportive, and I couldn't do any of this without my assistant principal, Tanya Lamoureux. So I just want to thank them as well.
And Janet, it certainly reflects your leadership. It shines through. So thank you.
Thank you, Anne.
All right. That's it. Anything else? Okay.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.